Everyone, I'd like to now call the General Committee meeting to order. Please note that assistive listening devices for use in the council chambers are available upon request from our staff from our clerk's department. I should say office. Please ensure all cell phones are turned off or are placed on silent. Are there any members of council who wish to disclose a pecuniary interest? Mayor Thompson?
Yes, I would like to declare a conflict and like to have this broken apart on the staff reports. Report 216-036, Heritage Municipal Drain Maintenance Repair, as I am a benefactor of that.
Any other members of council?
Yeah. I have a conflict on the Andrews Drain as well. My daughter's farm is drained by it, so that's my conflict.
So that's staff report 2016-36 regarding Heritage Municipal Drain Maintenance and Repair?
No, 35 for him.
1235, Councillor McClure? So can you just confirm that it's staff report 2016-35? It's got to go into the recording.
That's the report.
2016-35. Thank you, Councillor McClure. Any further councillors? The next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. I will read out the title associated with the items on the agenda. Members of General Committee may ask that an item be held so that it can be further discussed. Please indicate your intention to hold an item by pressing your request to speak button. The first person on the list will be afforded the opportunity to speak first to the item. If an item is not held, the motion is deemed to be approved on consent. No further discussion of the item will take place at the meeting. The recommendation will go forward to Council for our consideration at the next meeting. Starting with the deferred business, CS 2016-13 regarding 2016 closed capital report held by Councillor Beffert. Staff report 2016-33 regarding signed variance 2823 Boston Mills Road, Ward 2, held by Mayor Thompson. Staff report 2016-32 regarding public complaint handling policy, held by Councillor Mezzapelli. Staff report 2016-34, renewal of area-specific development charge for Coleraine Drive Storm Sewer, held by Councillor Groves. Staff report 2016-35 regarding Andrews Municipal Drain Maintenance and Repair, approved and consent. Staff report 2016-36 regarding Heritage Municipal Drain Maintenance and Repair, approved on consent. Notice of motion. Councillor DeBoer.
Yes.
So we're going to go back to CS 2016-13 regarding 2016 closed capital report. We have a resident, Ms. Heather Wilkinson, requesting to delegate. We do need to waive the procedural bylaw, and I do have a motion here, but I need a mover and a seconder. Moved by Mayor Thompson, seconded by Councillor Shaughnessy, that Council waive the provisions of the procedural bylaw to permit a delegation to be heard from Heather Wilkinson regarding 2016 closed capital report. All those in favor? Motion carried. Ms. Wilkinson? Good afternoon. Just want to remind you that you have 10 minutes.
Okay, thank you. I just want to take a couple of minutes, actually, to remind Council that back in 2009, Caledon Village was promised $368,000 would be spent on streetscaping and on traffic calming. To date, I understand that some of that money has been spent, and we certainly appreciate that, but there's 19,000 that still hasn't been spent. if you go back and you look at the original plans that were presented to Caledon Village, and, you know, these plans were put up on actually in the plaza so that residents could see it. We had a big meeting at Caledon Village Place. I think there was about 200 people that attended. And we were promised things that we still haven't got. And to know that there's 19,000 still sitting there in that budget, I mean, we're kind of protective of our money, and we'd like to see that obviously spent in Caledon Village. So some of the things that we were promised that we still haven't received are trees down Highway 10 to help promote traffic calming. There was a bus shelter that was planned that, you know, still isn't there yet. We talked about a clock tower. Councillor Befford, I think that was one of your ideas and one that was absolutely supported. We've got benches that don't have backs on them. So one of the things that we asked for were benches with backs on them so that our, you know, more senior residents would have a place to sit and relax and enjoy the work that has been done. So I just would really hate to see that 19,000 go back into reserves when there's still things that have been promised that haven't been delivered yet. And like I said, it's going back to 2008.
Thank you, Ms. Wilkinson. Are there any questions for members of council? Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. Have you approached staff and suggested the outstanding issues, and have they been addressed, and what was the response?
Well, we have approached staff. There's a series of emails going back to 2008. I mean, I approach staff regularly and remind them that things still haven't been done, still haven't been completed. So I know that there are benches. I mean, we talked about benches. There are benches that staff have promised us, but we still haven't gotten them yet. So, you know, not all the money's been spent.
Okay. I guess, can I ask from staff whether they are prepared to say what hasn't been done and what's outstanding and what would have been part of the concept, or we aren't prepared to answer that question?
We can maybe do that when we bring the staff report forward. Thank you.
If I can, I think part of the misunderstanding is that, you know, the money was promised to Caledon Village. So the $368,000 was promised to Caledon Village for streetscaping. It's not as if there was a project and, you know, the project is complete and not all the money has been spent. It's, you know, that money was supposed to be dedicated to Caledon Village streetscaping.
Thank you. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you. Just want to clarify. What I think I heard you say was that there was an amount of money, and I think there was even more money attached to it from other parties that were putting into it. But this money had everything to do with the highway busting through the village, and they wanted to try and give you some sort of compensation for that highway going through. Was every single item that was asked for, was it itemized, or was this just a general pot of money that you were trying to get as much as you could possibly get out of that situation? Because I personally didn't see an itemized list.
There wasn't an itemized list, but there were detailed drawings that were put up. So if you consider the detailed drawings an itemized list, then in that sense, I guess it was itemized. But if you go back and you look at those detailed drawings and you look at the four corners of Caledon Village, it's pretty obvious that not everything was delivered.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything further? Thank you, Ms. Wilkinson, for coming in today.
Okay. Thank you.
So I'll now call forward the report CS 2016-13 regarding closed capital report. That report CS 2016-13 regarding 2016 closed capital report be received, and that the 65 capital projects listed in Schedule A to report CS 2016-13 be closed, and that the unaudited net capital project surplus of $2,486,472.56 be transferred back to the original sources of funding, and that the treasurer be authorized to reopen any closed projects for technical adjustment required, including the payment of subsequent invoices, deficient work, or other payments related to a capital project, and to draw funds from original funding sources reserves up to the budget surplus amount. This item was held by Councillor Befford, so he may speak first. Oh, and I need a mover and a seconder, please. Moved by Councillor Shaughnessy, seconded by Councillor Befford. Councillor Befford?
Sorry, I think Ms. Wilkinson did a good job of sharing. This is near and dear to the people of Caledon Village, and with regard to the report that's in front of us, Item 15-159, Callan Village Streetscaping. The people of the village look at that, and they just simply don't want to lose that money. And I understand where our finance department is looking at, and that is they look at it a different way and that they want to close all the accounts. So I think I have a suggestion if I could bring forward a motion to provide an addition to the motion, to the staff report, an amendment.
An amendment?
I would so move, looking for a seconder. I believe Councillor Shaughnessy will second it, that a new 2016 capital project be created for Callan Village Streetscaping in the amount of $19,378.53 to be used for beautification and streetscaping projects in Callan Village. And that would satisfy the problem.
Okay. And is there a seconder? Councillor Shaughnessy. So currently we're only debating the item that is before us, which is the amendment, and I believe that Ms. Tollett would like to speak.
Okay, just to put some context into this capital project. So the original capital project for $368,000 included several parties. It was MTO, it was Tim Hortons, Petro-Canada, and the town. And those funds, that project was closed in 2015. There was an amendment in the 2015 closed capital project to set aside the remaining money at that time for $62,000 to do the lighting and the lighting in the area. So the project that's before you in this closed capital project report is because the lighting has been completed and that's the remaining money for the lighting. So just to remember that the other source of funding when we close the capital project, and I think there's a memo to the council agenda to this, that the original source of funding, all the grant or any money that we get from third party, that gets used first. So the remaining money that's left there, it's not a third party. It's all town tax money that's remaining. And I do have a list from Brian Baird that says what was completed for that project, the original one. I can circulate that out for council. But according to the project manager, which is Brian Baird, that the original project was completed. There's some outstanding issues, and the one with the trees, they did not put them on Highway 10 because they would not survive due to salt or winter conditions in the boulevard, and it's too narrow. So that's the reason why those weren't done. There is some benches to be completed, but that will be with Tim Hortons when now that they're finished. And that would be the spring of this year.
Thank you. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you, Peggy. I do remember this one quite clearly, and I think it had to do with the wording of the motion back when we looked at this last year, and really was the original intent of the motion was streetscaping and beautification. It didn't actually itemize every single element going into that. And what happened with that motion that Doug brought forward was Doug thought of it as beautification, and he's right. But that wasn't all that needed to be done. They needed more to be completed in the village. So it was the wording of that other motion which said lights, which was considered part of beautification. Had that motion actually just said to continue finishing the beautification and streetscaping, we wouldn't be here today because it would be continuing. So I hate to put a stumbling block and say that I know Mr. Befford's intent was actually for beautification, and the lights were only part of it. Lessons learned on that, but that's when. Anyways, I'll let Doug continue it because I know he's got his light up.
Thank you, Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. I fully understand why Doug or Councillor Befford's wanted to put this forward. But where I have a difficulty is that we're taking roughly $20,000 putting into streetscaping and beautification, and I have a group here in Caledonese that fundraises all of their own, and there isn't any tax-funded dollars that go to them. And I know we've asked, and they've asked us to try and locate some, and we've asked, and we've never been able to get it. So all of a sudden now we're looking for beautification monies in Caledon Village. I think something like this, if this is the desire, we need to have a discussion around all of our villages and come up with a plan onto what we're going to do with them all. We've got the CIP now for all of the villages. we've got the basis of something to start. And I think that's the location where we should be talking rather than doing this as a one-off. I understand from staff this is money left over from the streetlight program. Is that, that's, was it the streetlight one? You said this is essentially the tender went out, the work got done, there's money left over.
Through you, Councillor Ennis, to Councillor DeBoer, the $62,000 was to do electrical service and for the lights and on the banner poles on the south corner of Highway 10 and Charleston Side Road. That's what it was originally, the description that we had.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, it is completed, so the remaining budget now is the 19.
Yes. So it's that project, this money's left over, and I think we let the money come back in. It is tax-funded dollars. Let's put it back to the debate at the time of budget. That's where we should be discussing if we're going to have a project to talk about village beautification, and let's look at a plan, a holistic plan of identifying in all of our villages. Now we've got the CIP as being the basis. We've got a targeted areas through the CIP. So I don't know if I can necessarily support this the way it is. It's not that I'm opposed to the beautification. I think it's coming in at a time where we should be looking at all of the villages.
Thank you. Councillor Mezzapelli.
Thank you, Chair Ennis. I want to thank the delegate for coming and presenting. I will echo Councillor DeBoer's comment in that I'm fully supportive of trying to enhance our community, whether it's in my ward or not. I am fully supportive of that. Having said that, I'm a big stickler for following policy and applying it equitably. And I think Ms. Tollett did mention, and it's in our memos, basically finances process on how they deal with funds that they receive. And I understand reading that donated funds are the first to come off the list for the project to fund it. And I just draw council's attention to that. The other questions I had is this is, again, philosophically, I want to support making our communities better. I want to make sure that's crystal clear. But I know, looking at this, and I do have some questions about the larger report, is I'm concerned about constantly revisiting after the mandate of the project has been met. To reallocate that to further projects. And again, for the betterment of the community, I get that. So I have a couple questions, and I know that I raised questions when, I don't know if it was last budget, where the additional monies were used for the lighting. Was that identified in the original project? And if it is, I'm just curious why it wasn't captured and utilized as a part of the $300,000+ as opposed to potentially being closed and then coming back to council.
Through Councillor Ennis to Councillor Mezzapelli, according to Brian Baer, the project manager, it wasn't identified in the original scope that he has here for the project.
Okay. And so I think I expressed concern respectfully at that point. If it's part of the project, get it all done. You know, spend every penny. I'm all for, you know, supportive of that. The delegate talked about, my understanding is that when the project comes in, this is what the project is to do. You have the scope and you fulfill that. I understood that it was a monetary value that was allocated to streetscaping and beautification. It's two different things, because I'm sure the $368,000, there could be even more that could be spent to beautify. But so was it a dollar value that was allocated to beautification in general, or were there these items that were to be done?
So the project has $368,000. There are five funding sources in total. Some of them are basically the businesses in the area, and then some was the MTO in the town. And in the project scope, it just has a list of the different features that are required to be completed, because with any capital project, it's not usually a generic description. You have to have a list of what you're doing.
Right.
Because when I go to close the project, I always ask, is that list completed? Because if the project is completed, we close it, and then any funding that's remaining goes back to the original sources. because if they have still work to be completed, we have to leave it open.
Right. So I understand that your response is that it was itemized. These things were to be done with those funds.
So when the report came last year to close the original one, that's what it was, is identified. It was completed. There were some outstanding issues, but that would be done in this year. But, like, for example, the benches and the trash cans for Tim Hortons are at yard three. When that's done, they'll just move it over. But they could still close the capital project.
Yeah. And I did ask for staff's comments on this because I wanted to have fulsome information to vote on this. And to echo your last statement there, and I know the delegate talked about it, is some outstanding issues. And I did get a response that two benches and a trash can are purchased and will be installed. So I just wanted to make that point. And for me, to make take an educated position and vote on this, I would like to see the original project to see if this was done, and I don't have that in front of me. And I'm cautious of projects that remain open and are applied to further projects. So those are my comments and my concerns at this point. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Mizzipelli. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Great, thank you very much. I want to clarify with the head of the Calvin Village Association, because I went and just, and if you could just step back up.
Sorry, you can't do that.
Okay.
Procedurally, well then, it's not permitted.
Okay, then
if you have a question, it has to be directed to staff.
Okay, so on the drawings, I understand that there is light showing going all the way down Highway 10 within the village, and they've not been completed. Is that correct? Because according to Calvin Village Association, they were supposed to have lights on both sides of Highway 10 going south, and they didn't happen.
Mr. Wong.
Chair, and I'm not familiar with those drawings, but I can get them and circulate them if that's what council or committee requires.
I think it was phase one and phase two is how it was interpreted. So, and then the rest of the money, I don't believe it was tax dollars. We had region. Is that correct, Mr. Beffert? There was no tax dollars. It had everything to do with grants. It had to do with region appeal. It had to do with town of Caledon. It had to do with MTO, and it also had to do with the money from Tim Hortons and the money from the Petro-Canada.
Ms. Tollett?
$183,130 was tax, $75,000 was MTO, $50,000 was region appeal, $30,000 was Tim Hortons, and $29,870 was Petro-Canada for a total of $368.
I guess what it comes down to, and I'm not going to belabor this, I know during the election they were told that it could be used, that money could, by the existing councillor, not the one sitting here, by the existing councillor, that money could be used for finishing off the beautification because it was such an open, it wasn't as specific as what, sorry, Peggy, the way you're making it sound right now. It was very open. It was the clock tower. It could be planters. It could be trees. It could be a number of items. And a lot of those items didn't get completed. And I don't think we can compare Caledon East or anybody to Caledon Village. Caledon Village had a five-lane highway blow through the center of it. And when you want to compare villages, let's compare apples to apples. That's far from being apples to apples. So that's what I know about it. I've seen all the emails go back and forth from previous councillors saying that that money would be there for them to finish off the beautification. And I would just hope my councillors would understand and respect that. Thank you.
Councillor Beffert.
Thank you very much. I didn't think we'd be belaboring this point this long. I want to back up a little bit and help everyone understand that when the decision was made to widen Highway 10, a lot of things were happening. Our Public Works Department signed a deal with MTO and the Region Appeal, because the Petro and Tim Hortons was not there at that point, that quite personally, if we had to do over again, I would make it a heck of a lot more money. At that time, there was no definitive plan put on the table. It was for streetscaping. MTO were glad to get rid of their 100,000 or whatever and say, go for it. And the region jumped in very quickly, and the town said, we have a responsibility, and they did the same thing. So as far as the people in the village were concerned, here was the money, a pot of money that was going to be used to the best of our ability to make things happen. And to the credit of the Callan Village Association, they have done that. And they don't see an end of that pot except at the end of the $19,378. And with regard to Councillor DeBoer's point about other villages, we actually, Councillor Shaughnessy and I, met with Mr. Wong less than a week ago. And we brought up that point, that other villages are going to experience the same thing that we are, particularly with respect to lighting, for example. The Callan Village Association has gone to the extent of buying snowflakes, for example, that go up there at Christmas time. Not only do you have to put them up, you have to take them down. And that's partly where some of this money is coming from. So they've made their plan and they're working on it. But we went to Mr. Wong and said, every village should have the advantage of having the town help out with this. And he indicated that as the next budget comes forward, we will discuss that issue, just as Mr. DeBoer asked. And I think at this point, it's a matter of the people of Callan Village see this as, quote, their money, and they want to finish their plans. The $19,000 will not allow them to complete everything. For example, there was lighting to take place on Highway 10 south of the Four Corners. There isn't a chance that $19,000 is going to get you that kind of lighting, in addition to the fact that there are parameters of Highway 10 that probably we wouldn't be allowed to do that. What we're asking for today is just simply a new capital project so that they can at least finish with the $19,000 what they started, even though it may not be written down as much as everybody would like to. And if I had to do it over again, I'd make sure it was written down. But I think we need to say to them, that $19,000 is in effect yours. I don't care how we do it, and I don't want to offend any other organization. It's not very much money, $19,000. Let us finish what we can, which won't be enough, and then we'll have to do the same that you do, go to the town and ask for whatever we want next, and together we'll go to Mr. Wong at budget time and ask for additional money to help us raise and lower banners, raise and lower lights, all of those kinds of things. It all fits, but in this particular case, it's a very unique and separate issue that I would like my colleagues to look at and just simply say, let's create a new file, let's use up the money. We won't ever mention it again if we use it up, although we will be coming for other, but we won't mention this one again, and we just like to move on, and I ask my colleagues to allow us to do that and get on with life. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McClure.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for that presentation, Ms. Wilkinson. That was, I have several villages, Cheltenham, Terracotta, Victoria, Campbell's Cross. They're all squawking for things. Cheltenham, they were promised a sidewalk 8 years ago. Hasn't been completed yet. We always put it in the back burner. Everybody's asking for something. But $19,000 isn't a lot. I think we should do it. And I think the rest of council should think of my little villages, because maybe they're not as important as Callan Village, but you know what? I think they're important. They're my little villages, and I'm proud of them. And I'll vote for the damn thing, but remember me my times.
Thank you. Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Chair Anderson. I don't think that this is a matter of whether we philosophically support or don't support beautifying our communities. It's not about that whatsoever, and I want that, again, to be crystal clear. It's about process and policy, and I do try to be a stickler on this and apply it evenly. And that's why I asked the question, is whether this is a total amount that was to be entirely consumed for this purpose, or was it itemized? And the information that I was given is that it was itemized. And it is with...
Clarify. Sorry, can
it
I
is
ask...
With
can I ask Ms. Tillett to clarify that? Would you like staff to clarify? Councillor Mazzapelli?
Beg your pardon? I asked the question earlier, and I believe I received the answer. So I'm comfortable with that. And I am absolutely in favor of an upcoming budget. If work needs to be done and it requires more than 19,000 for lighting and whatnot, I want to support that, and I want to have a fulsome discussion with all the priorities of Caledon to properly fund them. And I'll leave it at that. Thanks.
Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. I'm going to approach this. I'm not going to talk about roads and how busy a five-lane road is and a two-lane road at rush hour going through my villages, but what we're going to talk about is exactly what Rob said, process. And the project manager on this project, as it was outlined, states that it's completed.
Ms. Shullett?
Once.
That is correct. So from them, that's how this report gets developed. So we send it out to the departments, asking which ones can be closed. And I try to stick as close as possible to the description that we have given that says we're going to do this or this so that we can close the project.
And in all the projects, we don't start adding. We take what the basic and the whole premise of a budget, when we set the budget is there's dollars allocated for a specific project. It gets tendered out. Hopefully there's enough work done to come up with a number that's close to what it costs to do the project.
Sorry, Councillor DeBoer. Can I just ask for silence while other members of council are speaking? Sorry, Councillor DeBoer.
So through the budget process, staff figure out how much it's going to cost to do a project, outline exactly what it is. The tender comes in. There's a couple of these that are actually above. So some of them go above, some of them go below. But this is the opportunity. This is where we close out those ones, and we've completed the project. And basically, that's the way the budget part process works. We try and stick to a dollar figure and a specific amount of work.
Charlotte?
Just to clarify, so anytime there's a scope change to any capital project, the manager or the director has to write a report to council to say, I'm changing the scope of the project, I need to do something else if they have money remaining. Because I can't have them just using remaining money and thinking if I have money left over within a capital project, I'm going to do more because I have money left over. That's not the purpose. They're supposed to close the project, and then if they're changing it or need to do something different, they have to bring that forward. If there's money left over, we need to bring it back to the reserve simply because there's lots of projects, as you see on the list, go over. So capital projects could be 10% over or 10,000, the lesser of the two. If I had every project going over and I've been taken from the reserve and I have no projects closing that are under, that reserve is going to deplete quickly. So that's the other reason why this process is developed, so that we can make sure we close projects not only on a timely basis, but also put money back into the reserve to pay for those projects that slightly go over as well.
Okay.
So I explained that in the memo that's attached in here.
And I just wanted to make sure that it's clear, because the other part is, and we are deviating a little bit because we should be just talking about the motion that's on the floor, and that is developing all of a sudden a new project out of money that's left over. And, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you know, I certainly can understand some people thinking $19,000 isn't a whole lot of money, but $19,000 is a lot of money. And to make the statement that it isn't a lot of money and we should just do it is the wrong statement. I think I stand with what I said before. If we're going to do a capital project and expand it for beautification, let's do it a holistic way. Let's look at including all of our villages, and not just because there's money left over, because process tells us that this project was completed as outlined. There's money left over, just like any number of these projects. And if we start moving stuff around, we're going to end up not having a process that we should be following, and this is the way that we've done it for quite some time, and I see no reason to deviate from it at this point.
Thank you. Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Heather, for coming in and delegating. I do support process. I think that it is important for us to follow process. I agree with Councillor Beffert and the others who spoke about we really should be looking at this in a holistic way. I have a BIA in Bolton. We've got streetscape, we've got flowers. We spend $15,000, $16,000 on flowers. We spend money to maintain those flowers, to water them. We buy the park benches, we do all the lighting, the banners, everything. And that is a special levy, and I understand because it's a BIA that there is a special levy through the BIA. So it's very tough trying to justify between a community like that, because certainly we're going to hear from the folks in the BIA, and the Caledonese folks, because they raise money to pay for their streetscaping and their beautification. The Caledon Village has been through a lot of turmoil, I think, and this has been a long-standing issue. So I would support moving forward in the next budget that we do look at all of the communities and see what we can do to give everybody something to help with whatever they need to do in their villages. I know we just lost a bench because there was an accident there. We lost a bench, we've lost garbage cans, and we have to keep replacing them. And those are the business owners in the downtown core that they have to keep replacing those things because the town doesn't help us out down there. So I would hope that this council, next time we look at the budget, we look at moving things a little bit in all the villages, and so this way there is some money, a little bit of money. We don't have a whole lot of money, but at least a little bit helps all the villages. So I'm fine with supporting what Councillor Beffert has in his motion. But I do think that we have to revisit and we have to look at things again and see how somehow the process doesn't get mixed up like it has. I mean, I think there's a little bit of confusion around this process. I don't think I really was in the loop on it, but it just sounds like there was a bit of confusion on this process.
Thank you, Councillor Beffert.
I'd like to make two points of clarification. They differ from what we've been told, but I'd like to make sure everybody understands. Number one, a lump sum of money was provided to Caledon Village to complete certain tasks that may not have been written down as clearly as everybody would like, but that money in its entirety has not been spent. So that's number one. Number two, the project itself is not complete. There were parts of that project, as I referred to earlier, for example, light poles south of the Four Corners, that have not been done. They will not be done for $19,000, but I just want to clarify that they are not done. So therefore, the project that the money was originally designated for has not been completed. I understand everything that's been said, and it's very difficult in this case to keep it separate from the normal way of our doing business. This was provided for certain things. They're not done. The money's not spent. And so I would ask you to support me in creating a new capital project for this amount to allow us to carry on. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Beffert.
I'd like a recorded vote.
There's no recorded voting committee at council. At council, you can ask for it. And you can't call the vote at... procedurally, I don't think that you can at committee, but we'll check. There are no other speakers. So I was going to make one quick comment and call it anyways. Two quick questions of Ms. Tollett. One, I've heard some of the councillors say specifically the money was given to the association to carry out this work. I want to confirm that this was actually a town project, that it was not a pot of money that was given to any association to do any work.
It's my understanding that it was a capital project approved in 2010, so it was a town project.
Okay. And further, I'm a little bit confused because some of the councillors have been saying that some of the work hasn't been completed, even though our project manager has stated that all work has been completed, otherwise it wouldn't be before us today. And further, they have concerns that there are lighting that is still required on this section of road. However, this portion of money that's remaining was to be used for all of the lighting. So our project manager, to be clear, is stating that they believe that the work is completed.
Thank you, Councillor Ennis. As I stated, it is, according to the project manager, the work has been completed.
So I guess my last question, and I'm not really sure if staff can answer this, maybe Councillor Beffert or Councillor Shaughnessy, what are we hoping to achieve with this $19,000? What is it going to be used for if our staff are already saying that this work has been completed?
Part of the money is going to be used to help us take down what we bought with the money and put up new, less needy banners with so it's to enhance what's already there as far as streetscaping. We know we can't put in two new poles. What we can do is use the money to correct a couple of things that the snowflakes have to come down. So that's part of it. That's about $1,000. New banners have to go up, and that's part of what it was there. No new banners? Okay. Oh, the bus shelter. Okay. And the posts, if there was enough money, but there's not enough money.
Okay.
We'd like to do as much as we can with the money that we think is left for us.
Okay. I'm just going to echo Councillor DeBoer's sentiment. I have very hardworking residents in my group, in my community, who fundraise tirelessly throughout the entire year, do several events to not only provide banners, beautification through flowers, but to also pay to have those banners change throughout the season. I have a small community in Palgrave that hosted the Pan Am Games who the town didn't even see fit to find the funds to provide banners along that corridor to welcome the world to our back door. So I have a very difficult time going to those residents and explaining why I chose to support this motion. So one more councillor would like to speak. Councillor Shaughnessy.
They bought their own banners that are up there right now, so I just want to clarify that, the Kelvin Village Association. But you still can't compare the associations or the villages. There's no businesses. It's tough for a business to survive in Kelvin Village because they got a friggin' highway going through the center of it. But that said, I want to throw a little perspective. I think somebody threw out like $13,000 worth of flowers in Caledon East. Alton gets $200 for their flowers for Caledonese. I just thought that was an interesting perspective on how one village manages 13,000 and another village can only get 200, but that's neither here. Doesn't matter. I'm just saying, let's have some perspective. You don't treat your kids exactly the same all the time. Some kids require different help at different times than you just don't treat them all as one, is what I'm saying. And that's what we learned at the region the other day when they were doing equality versus equity. We all, as regional councillors, and that goes to the fact that every village, every town needs something different at a different time in place. And that's what our villages are not all the same. They can't be treated all the same. So I'm just throwing out a perspective. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Shaughnessy. That being said, I'll call the question. All those in favor? All those opposed? Motion carried. Now we're back to the main motion. As amended. Do I have to read it? Sorry. No. Councillor Mezzapelli?
Thank you, Chair. So I can speak to the report, the whole report. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. I've got a couple of questions on the list of closed capital projects I'd like to put to staff for their comments. 15-091 McEwen Drive Servicing. It was just under $500,000 capital project, which in the comments section said it was a change in priority and was to be canceled. I'm just wondering, I don't recall the details of what the servicing was, and if I could find out very Cole's notes version, what that was and why it was deemed not to be a priority.
Through you, Chair Innes. The project, right now I believe the road terminates at Simpson, and I believe the town wanted to extend it to Coleraine. There's a major landowner that is not interested in proceeding with the project, so we are proposing to close the project.
Okay. The other one is 15-123, which is the Termina fence replacement. So for council's information, this is a section of fence that through a legal agreement, the town has a legal obligation to do major repairs on. And
couple of years ago, I believe it was, sections started failing, and that's what initiated this, and the town had to generate a capital plan and project to repair it. I know that it kind of grew, and there was suggestion that we should maybe do the platinum version and have a concrete noise acoustic wall, and that would have a longer lifespan. And this council decided that that was excessive, and that it would the cost, but also immediately after that section of fence the town has an obligation for, there would be wood fence. So I had concern with that, and so I shared that. But I know just as of late, another section has failed, I believe due to the ice storm over Easter. And when I see this entirely closed, I believe storm temporary fencing went up, snow fencing. When I see this totally closed and we are obligated to repair it, where will we draw the monies from to, in a timely fashion, repair a fence, this fence?
Through Chair Innes, that is correct. So basically when this report was brought forward, or was supposed to be come forward to committee on March 22nd, the recommendation was basically to close the project because there was a bigger ask to replace the whole fence with a concrete fence. And as you may recall at the budget meetings, 2016 budget meetings, there was discussion about adding another $300,000 to this project to make it $800,000. But because, that wasn't approved, and basically the portions of fence that failed in 2013 were repaired. As Councillor Mezzapelli mentioned, there was portions that failed after the ice storm, which basically happened after this was supposed to come to committee. And our proposal was basically we would put up the snow fence. And as part of the 2017 budget, we would bring forward the necessary budget proposal to replace the sections that fell down during the March ice storm.
Okay, so my understanding of that discussion that, you know, where it ballooned an extra $300,000, my understanding was that we were basically going to say, no, we don't want the platinum solution. We're going to replace like with like. I was under the understanding that that pool of money would stay and fund those wood sections to replace them with wood sections as they failed. I'm not a stickler for how we go about it, whether we close it and we deal with them as they fail, but I'm not comfortable with having temporary snow fencing up for roughly 12 months until a 2017 budget comes out, and then, you know, we get back into the spring season. It'd be a year today, basically, and I'm not comfortable with that, and I don't think it's fair to the resident whose section has failed when, again, we have the obligation. So I would like staff to recommend, before we close this, how we can deal with our obligation in a timely fashion.
Through Chair Innes, I guess there are two options. One is we could write a report to identify what happened, what our obligations are, and an estimated cost to repair this in 2016. But I know what the cost is. We had staff actually look at it and cost it out. It will cost roughly about $100,000. So the second alternative is we could add an amendment to this report to basically create a new capital project and for $100,000 to replace the damaged fence as the fences along the Tormina fence, basically that were damaged as part of the March 2016 ice storm.
Could I add one thing to that as a humble request? Another sentence that reads that in the 2017 budget, staff will, because they're going to continue to fail, and it would stand to reason that eventually that $100,000 could run out, and so that we have a plan to address them as they fail. Thank you.
So,
and
Councilor
I'd be happy to make a motion if that's what's required.
Yeah.
Thanks. I'm looking for a seconder. I see Councillor Groves. That a 2016 capital Termita fence project be established in the amount of $100,000 funded from the tax-funded contingency reserve fund. I'm just wondering, is there any way we could take it from the project? Or if staff prefer to do it this way, that it's fine with me. And that staff address the long-term plan for the Termita fence matter in the 2017 budget process.
Gonna wait for a moment to be posted. So the amendment is on the floor, moved by Councillor Mezzapelli, seconded by Councillor Groves. I'm just gonna clear the board, and if there's any questions, please press your button. Those that wish to speak to the amendment. Councillor DeBoer.
I'm just wondering, is with, if I remember back to the budget, was it not going to be maintained through the maintenance line? I thought we were going to deal with this fence somewhere else when we had the discussion around it, rather than that full capital program.
Mr. Ron?
Through Chair Innes, I believe the discussion was we would deal with it as the sections fail.
But was there not a line somewhere in the budget where it was going to get dealt with, or is this the way we should be dealing with it?
That, through Chair Innes, that'll be something that we can look at for starting in 2017. I don't believe that there was an increase in the operating budget related to the fence.
So this could be something that you're going to look at as having that it might have to be there, and whether you use some, it'll be for the maintenance as the pieces fail. That's what you're suggesting you look at this fall?
That is correct.
Okay.
Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just moving forward, I'm just wondering, when we write these agreements and we look at these sound barrier walls along major roads, so where this fence is located, a lot of noise, the train tracks are there, places like Harvest Moon, places like the Albion Vaughan Road, which is meant to carry heavy traffic on those roads. Can we write in those agreements or make those agreements so that those walls are concrete walls because they last longer, maintenance, there's really no maintenance, and the developers pay for those walls? Because this is what we're ending up with. I mean, we've got that on Columbia Way. Fences are falling down. Those fences are the homeowner's responsibility, and that's also a heavily traveled road as well. So I'm just wondering, moving forward and looking ahead, when we're designing these subdivisions with these walls, can we do that? Can we change those agreements?
Through you, Chair Innes, the town standard for noise attenuation walls is now... Wooden fences with metal posts. To change the standard to concrete would be very burdensome for the homeowner, who would have to do the repairs and replacement in the future. While it's true that the developer would pay for the initial cost, in the future, if the homeowner would ever have to pay for the repair or replacement of a concrete wall, that would be very costly for the homeowner.
Okay. I'm just wondering, because the region does have those concrete walls as not noise attenuation walls in certain areas. I'm just wondering if we can speak to the folks in Public Works at the region and sort of figure it out and get some clarity on it, and how do they deal with it all?
Through Chair Innes, certainly we can talk to the region appeal, but currently our standard is wooden with metal posts. Mm.
Okay, thank you.
Seeing no further questions. Oh, Councillor Shaughnessy.
Great, thank you. Item 13-074.
Sorry, it's just the amendment.
Oh, I apologize.
Okay.
No, I did mean to turn it off.
I'll call the question based on the amendment moved by Councillor Mezzapelli, seconded by Councillor Groves. All those in favor? Motion carried. We are now back to the main motion as amended twice. Councillor Beffert.
Yes, I have a question regarding item number 15-041, the Callan Central Pool demolition. There's a significant amount of money to be closed here. I'm just wondering, should that money not go into the reserve that we set up for the pool? It's no different than the HVAC system that was going to be based on potential when we sold it, as we had an amount budgeted for demolition. Should that difference not go into the reserve?
Through you, Chair Ennis, so the original project when it was set up was tax funded contingency reserve, so that's why it's going back to that reserve. Council can choose that, but at this point we have to put it back to the original sources, which was the tax budget, the tax reserve.
So a future motion could move that money over into the, is it called the Callan Central Pool Reserve Fund?
It's called the Northwest Indoor Recreation, I think. I have to look it up.
Right.
It's called the Northwest Caledon Indoor Recreation Facility Reserve.
Okay. I'd like to take more time to consider what this is all about, but I may bring a motion back in a future time to move that money. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Shaughnessy?
I'll go to that particular item since Doug started on the Caledon Pool. When this came forward to us, it came forward as $250,000 to tear down the Caledon Pool because it was such in disrepair, mold, mildew, all this sort of stuff. As a person who comes from a construction background, when I see only $90,000 of $250,000 being spent, it leads me to two questions. One, did somebody provide us an estimate of $250,000, which scared the heck out of all of us and said, ooh, we better take it down because she's a mess? Or did somebody over budget for it? When I see $90,000 instead of $250,000, because that's a big, I agree with Mr. Beffert, that's a big difference. It says to me as a counselor that it wasn't as bad as what I was led to believe. And what I worry about in the future moving forward is that reports come to council, they have to be really, really accurate because we're making our decisions on the best information that we're given. And we were told that, you know, it could have to be put a canopy over it because of the mold and all this sort of stuff. And it was a little spooky. I actually wanted to go and see it, and I couldn't get into the building to see it when I first came to council. So I'd really like to see, and maybe this requires another motion, I'd like a motion coming forward that we actually bring a report back as to what actually was found and why our estimate of $250,000 to tear down a pool was only $90,000. Because I'm sure a number of us made that decision based on that it was in bad shape and it was $250,000 and we went, oh, take it down. So I'd like to, yeah, if there's
so you,
a motion.
You can either do an amendment or you can present a notice of motion at a future council
meeting. I would defer to Carrie as to what she would prefer.
Through you, to the chair, it's completely up to you, Councillor Shaughnessy, what you prefer.
But then I'll bring a motion in the future because there's a couple other things I had a couple of questions for. Sorry. So I'll bring a motion forward to actually address that. One other, 14-126, backup generators at recreational facilities. That's another one where we didn't spend. We have a surplus of 137, but there's no my problem is there's no explanations with a lot of these things. Does that mean we only did some generators, or did we overprice it again what was actually needed? So that is, Fuing, did you get that number? It was 14-126. We had $200,000. We only spent $62,000. And we have 137. So did we only do some generators, not all of them?
That's wrong.
Through Chair Innes, I believe that was for the design of the generators, but I'll have to get more details.
Yeah, I'd like to see that detail before I start sending the money back. Plus, in the future, I'm thinking that we spent money on generators and the next budget comes out and you ask for more money for generators and I'm going to say, well, why didn't we use it last time? But anyways, I think it's, this storm sewer, Alton Main Street, 13-074. I have a question on that, and my question is, we're doing a drainage study right now in Alton Village, and I don't know, this obviously predates me, so it's from 2013. I don't know what it's about, and I hate to see money go back to something when we're actually doing drainage studies in that area, so maybe you could clarify before we start sending that one back to the reserve fund?
Through Chair Innes, the monies that are required here have nothing to do with the drainage studies that we're doing now. The drainage studies that we're doing now, we actually have other capital projects for. So staff have recommended that we can close this one.
Did they complete the drainage problem that was there? It's another one of those. Sorry, Fu Wing. It's another one of those that I look at the number and I go, what happened? I mean, you only used a third of what you had allotted, so did we overprice it to begin with, or did we not do, I don't know, did we not do what we said we were going to do? I just don't want to close it off knowing Alton has a serious drainage issue problem.
Yeah, through Chair Innes, it could be a situation where we completed what we said we were going to do, or it could be a situation where we now have a new capital project and the study, the overall study, would be encapsulated in the overall study that we've asked new money for. So, and in either case, staff are comfortable with closing this project without impacting the works that are required there.
Okay, I'll go with that.
Thank you. I just want to remind council members that we do have other delegations here today, and also it's very helpful when we're asking some of these detailed questions if perhaps you have an opportunity to speak with staff prior and ask some of these questions, just to keep the meetings moving along a little bit faster. That would be appreciated. Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. I think it's important, some of the statements that, you know, staff are providing the full information and the best knowledge on what the budget amounts are. I believe, and having some of the history on the takedown of the pool, the condition of the pool and what it costs to remove it and rehabilitate the site had nothing to do with each other. So I think it's important to maybe use that as an example as to how you got into a number that's lower than what was budgeted. And I find it interesting that we're questioning staff on these ones that are being that are a large dollar amount that are coming back to the available tax reserves. We're not sending the money back anywhere. They're coming back. It's going into an account that we'll have access to at budget time this fall. But the staff got a good deal and they managed to save money, but got the job done, and it's being questioned. I just find it very difficult to see why we're thinking that all of a sudden the work isn't being done right, that something's going on. I would hate to see all of a sudden all these came in 100% right on to the budgeted amount, and then we'd be questioning about where did all the money go and how many projects did you do kind of behind the scenes. I think we have to recognize that staff manage these projects. When the budget happens, they have to be projects that are outlined as to exactly what happens. The dollar amount is there. When the work is complete, there's money either left over or, like was mentioned, 10% over. And if the item is completed, the money comes back, so it's available to all projects or to offset any increases potentially that the taxpayers of Caledon could see in the next budget. So anyways, with that, I'd call the vote.
Thank you. That being said, all those in favor of the motion as amended twice? Motion carried. I would also ask that staff pull this separate from the main report when it comes to council, as there were amendments made to it. Moving to our delegations, I will now call upon Mr. Rosas to approach the podium. Please state your name, provide your delegation through the microphone, and note that you have 10 minutes, and thank you very much for your patience.
Jonathan Brozos. Number one, I want to thank the council for releasing the $19,000 for Caledon Village. But I must say, it probably cost us as a longtime resident more than $19,000 to make that $19,000 decision. So sitting back there for an hour listening to it, and I'm sure you guys have spent hundreds of hours on it. But I'm here to discuss the item regarding a billboard on my property at 2823 Boston Mills Road. In 2009, I applied for a building permit at the town of Caledon. First, I spoke to them. They said, go and get an MTO permit first and then come back. So I did that. I went and got an MTO permit, and then I came back to the town, and I applied. And if I may just circulate this as I was said I could do. So that's a copy of the application for the sign permit at the Ministry of Transport. That shows the location and the sign concept. After the application went in, there's just going to be a few documents for you, for everybody to see. I was then granted the MTO permit on the property. And then when I erected the sign, the town wanted me to take it down. I said, why? They says, you don't conform. I says, well, I have the MTO permit. Then they wanted proof that I actually paid for the MTO permit. I then provided them with that, and the permit is valid as of 2009, and it's valid right now. It's a permit for two signs on one structure. So I will also show you that evidence of proof, as was asked, because I wasn't seen to be getting anywhere with the administration. This was the previous administration, mind you, not the current one. If you may, please. So that is the actual invoice that is being circulated to you right now. There's two of them because every face has a different permit. And after you get that, you'll get the actual official receipt that it was paid, because that was also asked, also given to the town. So billboards, you know, you'll catch up to the paperwork. Billboards don't belong everywhere. I get that. But Highway 10 is a provincial highway. There's thousands of cars on a five-lane highway. We all know where it is. In my particular case, as you'll see the application, it was a replacement for an existing sign. It was not a new sign. The sign was always there. It was wooden. It was falling apart, and the plywoods were flying across the highway. So I did the right thing, take it down, replace it. What went up was a steel structure on a 27-meter cubic meter concrete base. The MTO panel was asked, as I said, to get the MTO. I did get that. It is further infuriating to me because right across the street from me, the town gave a permit for four signs, like right across the road. They don't have an MTO permit, and it's lit. They can't have an MTO permit because I have the permit, and based on MTO, you have to be 1,000 feet away from an existing MTO permit. So I don't know how those people got that. And it's further infuriating to me that in the town of Caledon, you have an existing sign identical to what I proposed at 19569 here, Ontario. What I'm circulating now, you'll see, are three photographs, one showing the physical address of 19569 and the actual sign, a two-face sign, steel structure. So I'm here to say, to ask for my town of Caledon permit. I've done everything, have everything, and I don't understand why I'm not getting it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rosas. Are there any questions of the delegate? No? Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
With that being said, I'm going to actually bring forward the report. Staff report
2016-33 regarding sign variance 2823 Boston Mills Road, Ward 2. That staff report 2016-33 regarding sign variance for 2823 Boston Mills Road, Caledon, Ward 2 be received, and that a variance to sign bylaw 94-14 as amended for 2823 Boston Mills Road be refused. Can I have a mover and a seconder, please? Moved by Councillor Shaughnessy. Seconded. Doesn't mean you have to support it, just so that we can discuss it. Councillor Mezzapelli, thank you. The first person to hold the item was Mayor Thompson.
Question is, as I look at fairness here, and I've had a talk with several on this. My question is, we say no to this report, and from what Mr. Veroso said is there's signs there that are now lighted without an MTO permit, and there's another sign. Is that other sign current with MTO, the one that was suggested as 19569? Do you know?
Through you, Chair Ennis, I'm not aware of the sign having a valid or an invalid permit, but I've been in contact with the MTO, and we will be following up on that.
Okay. Challenge I have is I know a lot of people feel the signs are ugly, but it's part of, as I understand, is communication. The question is if we say no to this one, what are we going to do about taking those other ones down? What's our ability? Because it's out of fairness. You got one person that's gone through a process, and now we're saying no to him, and we've got other ones out there. Let's be compliant. So if we say no to this, how can we bring the other ones down so that if there's no signs? I know this is site-specific, but I'm kind of reaching out here, but I think out of fairness, we got to get an understanding of how we can make it work.
through you, Chair Ennis, to Mayor Thompson. So from a previous committee of the whole, if you recall, there wasn't support for a policy change on billboards in general. Therefore, that's why there's the recommendation of this staff report such that it is. To speak about those types of signs along a provincial highway corridor that do not have permits, MTO or staff will be working with MTO to act on signs that do not have current MTO approval, and we'll be sending formal correspondence to MTO in the near future if it is council's or committee's direction to not support billboard signs.
Question I have, Madam Chair, I got another one, is when we're talking about billboard signs, I think what we're looking at here is these are the lighted billboard signs. So are we talking about billboard signs in general, or are we just talking about lighted billboard signs on this specific one?
So the presentation that was provided earlier was speaking to billboard signs in general. So billboard signs as defined by MTO are signs that are an advertising device advertising something that is not related to the property for which it is situated on. So those are the signs that we are speaking of. This particular case is a larger billboard sign, and it is lit, and it is on a provincial corridor subject to an MTO permit.
Yeah. And very similar to the, as I understand, it's identical to the one that the pictures were showing that's up in Caledon Village, or above Caledon Village now. So I guess my question is, do we have to bring back a separate motion to put a ban on those lighted billboard signs? Is that what you'll need required? I know I'm getting out of line, but I think I'm pushing the envelope here.
Through you, Chair Innes, to Mayor Thompson. So what the CBO was referring to, the presentation, he provided a presentation a couple of months ago to members of committee in regards to billboard, but it's my understanding that a fulsome report is coming back for actual, so there's no decision made at that meeting,
yeah.
That a fulsome report regarding the whole sign bylaw in general will be coming forward to a committee for consideration, so I'd recommend at that time, if you're looking at making any policy decisions, that be done then.
Okay, Madam Clerk, just going through the chair, the reason why I'm asking for this is I think you'll find that I was on record. I was saying is I think there should be a difference between billboard and lighted billboard signs, and I'm just wondering where that happened and where we've gone on that one. if I could, please, because I know we're talking about a lighted billboard sign here.
I think the clerk has already answered that it's going to come back with the full report, and that's a discussion that we can have at the time that that full report comes back to council.
And through you, to the chair, to Mayor Thompson, it's my understanding the current sign bylaw actually prohibits any billboards or signs larger than a certain size. So currently, the billboards are actually not permitted in accordance with the sign bylaw.
Just to provide further clarification on that, actually the current bylaw doesn't speak specifically about billboards. So it's the intent of staff to, when it presents the new sign bylaw, that it'll have a clear intent and clear definitions stating what a billboard sign is and what ground signs are, what's permitted to be lit and what's not permitted to be lit.
Okay.
Thank you.
So my final question, this is my challenge. My challenge is, got someone that's gone through the process as a VAST, and at that point we didn't say no, it's not allowed. We've let them spend money and go through a process. Now we're saying no to it. I have a hard time supporting the report recommendation when we haven't yet decided what we're going to do with these others, because it's fair. It's either all or not at all.
Thank you. Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. With regard to the sign bylaw report, how far away are we on that? And have you had a chance to look at how, for example, this would be defined as a billboard sign, and within your bylaw, where have you put that? Can you kind of give us a little bit of a snippet?
Right. So staff are working hard on developing the sign bylaw, and we're basing it on neighboring municipalities as well as the corridor signing policy of MTO. That bylaw is very close to being completed, so we hope to be bringing it to committee for consideration in the next short while. With respect to the definition of billboards, the proposal would be to be consistent with MTO definitions as well as other municipal definitions, which is a sign that advertises something that is not directly related to the property for which it is situated on. So in other words, if I wanted a McDonald's sign on my own private property, that would be considered a billboard sign regardless of the size or regardless whether or not it's lit.
So the intent of the staff then is to come up with a bylaw with standards similar to what MTO uses
that,
with regards to billboard
signs.
That is true,
and consistent with neighboring municipalities.
Okay. Now, do neighboring municipalities, for example, use the MTO standard and allow these billboard signs to be located on an adjacent to MTO highways? Can we have our bylaw where we use those standards and we have Highway 9 and Highway 10? Yes. And 410, I guess, that would be MTO roads, and then use those standards and apply this only on those roads.
Right. So it varies among municipalities, but that would be a decision of committee and council as to whether or not to permit billboard-style signs along a provincial corridor.
So what are other municipalities or examples of other municipalities that do permit billboard-style signs on MTO routes?
So some municipalities do not permit them. Orangeville is an example of that.
The village of Orangeville?
Yeah, Orangeville does not permit billboard-style signs. Other neighboring municipalities, they vary. Some permit them on a temporary basis and subject to an MTO permit, and some do permit them on a permanent basis. So, that's going to be a decision of committee and council.
I know it would be a decision that we would have to have at the time of the report. It's just that what I'm wondering is that are we going to come to a conclusion at that point in time that would actually make this sign have a positive report and have it go up? And if that's the case, why not look at it now? So I think it would be tempted to put together a motion that would limit, for example, allowing this sign to go up and using this as your example, so to say, as to how to come up within the bylaw regulations that would limit other opportunities but actually control it, and then try to address all of the other ones that we have so many of. In fact, I wouldn't want to see it on our regional roads and our town roads, but we're looking at MTO highways and a little bit different standard, and whether it makes more sense there.
So, Councillor DeBoer, what I would suggest then is that you can make an amendment to the staff report here to approve this sign variance, and the rest of the information that you've provided can be provided as direction to Mr. Klingenberg for the report that he's going to be bringing forward back to council.
So the chair is suggesting the motion would be is to approve the sign and modify the sign bylaw, or make the sign bylaw work with the approval, the standards of the
what I'm suggesting is if you're saying that you agree with permitting the sign, then you would make an amendment to approve the sign. So instead of saying be refused, it would be approved. So that's an amendment. The rest of the information that you've provided, I would suggest, would be direction to Mr. Klingenberg for consideration in his report that he would be bringing back for council's approval.
Okay, well, I do think that it should be limited to the provincial highways, and I don't remember the discussion we had the last meeting whether we went that route, but that would be my recommendation, so I would put that on the floor then.
So you're making
to the
amendment?
To amend the report to approve the sign, and then I guess if we can do it with direction to look at billboard signs on provincial highways only.
Okay, and seconded Councillor Thompson for the amendment. Sorry, Mayor Thompson. So now the amendment is on the board with regards to the, so it would change to say the variance to sign bylaw 9414 as amendment for 2823 Boston Mills Road be approved. I'm going to clear the board, those wishing to speak to the amendment. Councillor Mezzapelli.
Thank you, Chair Innes. To me, respectfully, it seems like we're putting the cart in front of the horse. I don't know what the report will say. I don't know that it'll support it. It may. And if it does, then obviously, this application would conform. I don't know that at this point. So I don't want to preclude the outcome of the report until the report comes out. So for that reason, I can't support this, because the report is the first piece that we need to have. You can't come to your answer before the report comes out.
Thank you, Councillor Shaughnessy.
Councillor Mezzapelli said sort of what I said, was thinking that how are we talking about a report that none of us have even heard or seen? And it sets a dangerous precedent. I have to query why we would be supporting a billboard sign when this council specifically said they wanted to see a report come before them before we did something like this. So, and even the MTO letter that the applicant gave us said that it must comply with the municipal bylaw. It's not in compliance with our municipal bylaw. So how are we, overruling that? We need, dangerous precedent. I have to query why you would support this single applicant for this particular sign. It puts all the others in jeopardy. I do agree with the mayor that if we've got a signed bylaw, any bylaw, then we need the enforcement to back it up. So I would not be supporting this. Could this clerk be deferred till after that report comes back to...
Through the chair to Councillor Shaughnessy. Currently you have a motion on the floor, so that needs to be voted upon. However, at that, you could place an amendment to the amendment to defer it until that. It's up to members of council.
Okay, but it wouldn't stop the applicant, if we were to say no here now, it wouldn't stop him from coming forward again once we have our sign bylaw and asking for it, would it not? He could come back, could he not?
Mr. Klingenberg.
through you, Chair Ennis. No, it wouldn't prevent the applicant from reapplying for a sign variance. However, with the passing of the revised sign bylaw,
probably wouldn't pass.
Council will set direction with respect to whether or not this type of sign meets the intent of the bylaw or not.
Right. So could then we just refer it back to, could we take this whole thing and just refer it back to staff then?
Councillor Shaughnessy, you need to make a decision. Either you can ask for an amendment to defer, you can ask for an amendment to refer. Refer allows members of council to have a discussion, or you can defer it and there is no discussion.
I think it needs to be referred back to staff and come forward when we have the new report back to council.
Is there a seconder to that amendment, to the amendment to refer it? Councillor Mazzapelli? All those in favor to, sorry, is there anybody, I'm going to clear the board, is there anybody that would like to speak to the referral? Councillor McClure.
I've been waiting to talk for a long time here. You've been avoiding me. I don't know what you've been doing, but you know
you're
what?
You're on the list.
Got
to speak to the referral.
You know what? I think we're... yeah. I think we'd be giving this gentleman a hard time. He's always done what he's told to do. He has... He owns a piece of property where the sign was grandfathered in, and we asked him to take it down, and bylaw didn't do it. He did it himself voluntarily. He didn't make them do it, and he's the only one with a permit, so I don't
Councilor
know what.
Councillor McClure, sorry, you have to speak to the referral, so you need to talk about whether or not it should be waiting until we have the report or if we should be dealing with it today.
I think we should be dealing with it today. Why should we wait?
Thank you.
We're just stalling.
Mayor Thompson, sorry.
I think we should call the vote and have it done with.
If you want to call the question, then I need a two-thirds majority to agree to call the question. So he has asked if we can call the question. If you wish to call the question, please raise your hand. I need a motion. So I need a motion that, are you suggesting you want to call the vote now?
Yes.
Okay. So then I need a seconder that supports Councillor McClure in calling the question now on the referral.
Point of order, do we not all get to speak to
yes.
the report today?
Not if the question has been called. I need a two-thirds. If not, then we go back to speaking to the referral. So if you'd like an opportunity to speak, then you wouldn't support calling the question now. So those in favor of supporting Councillor McClure, seconded by, is there a seconder? So, sorry, Councillor McClure, we cannot call the question. Councillor DeBoer, speaking to the referral, back to staff only, please.
Yeah, I don't think we need to necessarily, I don't think we have to refer this back to staff. We have the information. I think the mayor had made comment to the fact that he did come in with the application and was told to deal with MTO, but at no time was it mentioned to him that it didn't conform to the bylaw at that point in time. So I think we should continue to try and deal with this today.
Thank you. Mayor Thompson?
Well, the one reason why referral isn't a bad thing either, because my concern is you say no to, you support the report today, we still got illegal operations out there with signs and we don't resolve anything. That's the concern. This person's gone through the channels, spent the money, and then is complied to everything the town's asked of them, and then we say no, but we allow the bad actors to still continue on. So I have a real issue with this. So that's why I'm at a quandary here, is if I have no comfort at this point until I see a report on how we're going to get those other signs down. So that was the reason why I did consider to refer the report out of fairness, because I think it's extremely bad that we say support this report and we're not solving the problem that's out there that's concerning everybody. So it's yay or nay. I do agree with Councillor DeBoer. Fine. You know, with the way the bylaw is, he's met all the tests, give him the sign. But if you don't want these signs, then we've got to come up with a better report on how we're going to handle it.
Mr. Kleinberg.
Through you, Chair Ennis. The enforcement component is something that staff is going to follow up with regardless. In speaking with MTO, they informed me that they are currently, they're not actively pursuing signs that do not have permits. So I haven't been able to get back in touch with MTO, and that being said, we certainly will be following up on that.
Thank you. Councillor Beffert.
I am of the same opinion as the mayor, and that is that I would, if all things were equal, I could defer this until the report came forward and then we'd have some better information. But on behalf of the applicant, if that happens, we've still got five or six, I don't know the number of signs there, that are totally illegal in my mind. And Bill, correct me if I'm, or Mr. Klingenberg, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you spoke to us last time, you did mention that there was a time limit on the negotiated agreement and that you were going to go back and ask if MTO would consider not renewing those agreements with those signs that we would consider to be not appropriate.
Through you, Chair Ennis, that is correct. Through the corridor signing policy of the MTO, sign permits along a provincial highway corridor are to be renewed annually up to a maximum of 5 years, after which time they have to fill out a completely new application, so they're starting from scratch again. But they are an annually renewed permit.
So if I was this applicant, I wouldn't feel great, but I'd feel better if I stood here knowing that you weren't making a decision, but those other signs, something's got to happen to them. And then we are on the same playing field. So is there anything that we can do while we're waiting here, to if we defer this, to clarify to those people that have signs up that they're illegal and that the agreement will not be renewed or that the town of Caledon is asking for something? Is there anything we can do in the interim?
Sorry, I'm gonna ask our clerk to respond as she's responsible for bylaw enforcement.
Okay.
Thank you. Through the chair to Councillor Beffert. I do caution, I can't commit whether or not we can enforce or cannot enforce at this time. We can definitely look into it. So I don't want you making a decision based upon an assumption that we will go and enforce something that I don't know even is within our jurisdiction along an MTO corridor. We'll have to take a look at that.
Well, then I will support deferring this on the clear understanding that our town will take a look at these other on behalf of the applicant so he knows at least that we're in that vein. And then when the report comes forward, we can make a decision for all of them once and for all.
Thank you. Councillor Shaughnessy.
I agree with Doug. I was just going to ask that the report coming forward on billboard signs, could we also include...
Sorry, I can only speak to the referral at this moment.
He didn't.
You made his comment as to why it should be referred or not.
Okay, so on the referral, I would like to see it included that we look at how we enforce the bylaws at the same time. Could it be a comprehensive with the referral? Or does it have to come back as two separate reports?
I'll ask the clerk to answer.
Through Chair Ennis to Councillor Shaughnessy, I'm assuming the fulsome report on the signed bylaw will include enforcement provisions.
Perfect. Then that would be great. Thank you.
Councillor McClure.
Yes, and my question is, how did bylaw go ahead and ask him to remove his sign when there are other signs up there?
Sorry, Councillor McClure, we can only speak to the referral at this moment in time.
We're talking about the same thing.
No, it's not the same thing.
Explain to me why it's different.
You can only speak to whether or not you believe that it should be, or ask questions that it should be referred back to the staff report. Sorry. Okay. There's no other speaker, so I will make a comment before I call the question on the referral. I have concerns that the process hasn't been perhaps equal to all at this point in time, that there is a report that's going to be coming back, but I feel that this applicant has gone through the process to do what is required and that we would only be delaying it further by awaiting for the report to come forward. We have been told that other signs don't have the MTO permits
which is a concern that we would issue sign permits to them without having that in our possession as well. So that being said, I will not support referring this to a later date. I will call the question. Those in support, motion to refer by Councillor Shaughnessy, seconded by Councillor Mezzapelli. All those in favor? All those opposed? Motion fails. Back to the motion as amended by Councillor DeBoer and seconded by Mayor Thompson. Are there any speakers to approve the sign? So it will say that staff report 2016-33 regarding sign variance 2823 Boston Mills Road, Ward 2, that staff report 2633 regarding sign variance for 2823 Boston Mills Road, Caledon Ward 2 be received, and that a variance to sign bylaw 94-14 as amended for 2823 Boston Mills Road be approved. Councillor Mezzapelli.
Thank you, Chair Innes. I just will state my case, and I'm going to ask for a recorded vote.
Ask for a record of vote in
when,
committee.
Okay, I'll ask for one when we get to it. How we can approve something without it's, with all due respect to the applicant, and I mean that, it doesn't conform with a current bylaw. We have a signed bylaw forthcoming, which will speak to it, and yet we're approving it. So I want it publicly stated that that is out of sorts for me. And my last comment, Chair Innes, is you made a comment about the process isn't fair and equal to all. And it can't be fair and equal to all if people aren't following the process. That's why it's not fair. Thankfully, this resident is trying to follow the process, and I give you credit for that. Those are my comments.
Thank you. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Yes, thank you. I just ask council to be careful on optics, because it doesn't look good when we start approving things that we have a bylaw coming forward, a report coming forward, a future bylaw. I'm going to ask how in heck does this mean that when your report comes forward and you recommend that we don't have billboards, how is this council supposed to go against it if they voted for this billboard? I see a very slippery slope here. And how do you, Bill, look at future billboards if we say it's okay for this guy, but it's not okay for anybody in the future? Like, how do you handle that when you come to look at the applications? I would think you're in a really mucky spot myself.
Did you want to answer?
I'll try this. So just to reiterate, the recommendation of today's report was based on a previous discussion, and what staff thought was a clear direction of this committee. So that was the reason for the recommendation of today's report. Obviously, the decision made today will have some impact on a future bylaw.
So, in other words, a decision here at council today is going to influence a report that comes to council in the future.
That is correct.
That's not good. Thank you.
Councillor McClure.
Yes, I think this gentleman fits all the. He's done everything we've asked him to do. He's up front with us. He's got all the permits. I'm certainly going to vote for it. It fits all the criteria.
Thank you. I'd just like to caution council that we do have another delegation. So if we can speed this up a little bit, I would really appreciate it so that we can fit them in before they have to leave. Councillor DeBoer.
I think to reiterate the comments that I had before, just before we do come to a vote, staff, Bill, Mr. Klingenberg has told us that within the bylaw that you're proposing to bring forward in the near future, correct, you've looked at the MTO standards, and if you were to implement something within the MTO areas, you'll be using the MTO standards, which is reasonable. You would also potentially look at the fact that these signs might have a place within your bylaw, or would we would look at them as being a location within Caledon would be on MTO routes, and your bylaw would look towards that. I don't think the right term influence, but I think this is a bylaw that you're going to be able to develop and with this application in mind, knowing that this application will spur new ones and spur other ones, and making this work. I think if this is the type of sign that we end up with.
Through you, Chair Innes. So any change to the bylaw that would, I guess, permit signs of this nature would be based on established guidelines. In terms of locations, et cetera, that's something that we would certainly look at and would need to be discussed.
And if you look at, for example, the sizes and the way it's structured and the way it's built, would be something that could be like the guidelines that you're looking at in other municipalities. How would this fit, for example, in other municipalities that you've reviewed for our bylaw? Is this one really, and it looks pretty much standard, would this one go outside of what your comparables that you've looked at? Because you've got the report, you're working on it, or your staff are, you'll have a better understanding. So like I'm not concerned about stepping out ahead of your report if this would kind of meet with the intent of what you're thinking you're heading towards.
Right.
With the design of the sign on MTO highways.
For example, the MTO corridor signing policy, it really only has provisions in it for height and area of signs, and then it defines what's a single-sided sign, a double-sided sign, the setbacks, distances, that sort of thing. So that's something, you know, we would consider in the new bylaw.
You would be considering them anyways. You would be considering those standards within your new bylaw anyways.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, thanks.
Sorry, the list is growing. Councillor Beffert.
Very quickly, I will not support approval. I think we don't have the guidelines. Staff have said at this point they'd like to see it turned down. And my biggest fear is that if we do approve it, because he's done everything right, if we at some point want to make a difference with those illegal ones that are already up, I think we put ourselves in a very bad position. So I'd like to wait till we have the guidelines.
Thank you. Mayor Thompson?
There was something said that if this one has got the permit for approval, and if it is approved, does that mean that those other signs have to come down that are across the road from it that are illegal that look like an eyesore?
Speaking in general terms, signs that do not have MTO permits are obviously subject to some kind of enforcement through MTO, and then our town bylaw will also have provisions for enforcement.
Okay. No, it's just when I was reading that there's within 100 kilometer or 100 what is that? So many feet, 1,000 meters, within 1,000 meters of the sign, that it means that it would get rid of those two eyesores that can be enforced by MTO.
Mayor Thompson, I'm just going to have the clerk answer because it is with regards to bylaw enforcement.
Yeah, I know, and that's what I'm losing confidence.
Chair to Mayor Thompson. Again, this decision needs to be based upon, in my opinion, independently rather than the other issue. However, it's my understanding that the MTO is in charge of enforcement, and that's not our jurisdiction. So, again, you're going to have to make this decision independently of that.
Thank you. Anything further, Mayor Thompson? Thank you. Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Chair Innes. Through you to Mr. Klingenberg. When you bring this report back, I just want to make sure that these would only apply or be applicable to those MTO highways, not in, say, the urban areas like Bolton, that we wouldn't be seeing these big billboard signs.
think Mr. Kleinberg can take that as direction for his report.
Well, I would want to know if that's what the intent is, that it's only to look at those.
That in particular.
Sorry, can I have the CAO? Is just going to make a comment.
All right.
All right, I'll get Bill out of the jam here. Through you, Madam Chair. I think that we heard real clear at the last session of council when we had this issue, is that we heard from the vast majority of council that they did not want to see billboard signs. So Mr. Kleinberg is under the firm direction by staff, at least, or senior management, is his report is going to satisfy those terms when he does bring his report forward. However, to your question specifically, if you have a decision here today about billboard signs in a in locations, irregardless of where it is there the possibility that signs could go up along 55 in Bolton? 50, sorry. 55 is Niagara on the Lake, sorry.
You're here, not
yeah,
Niagara
yeah,
on the
yeah,
Lake.
Exactly. Along Highway 50, is that that's certainly a possibility because it would be outside of the scope of a policy that didn't allow for any billboard signs within the parameters of the town of Caledon.
So I do have a concern because I really wouldn't want to see them popping up on Highway 50.
Well, the sign bylaw as it currently stands doesn't permit them on Highway 50
right.
because it's a regional road. So regional and municipal roads are controlled through our sign bylaw. This is provincial jurisdiction, which is completely different.
So there are standards on four signs along a provincial highway corridor. They are largely regulated by the Ministry of Transportation. Our current sign bylaw does not speak to billboard signs in particular. It does speak to ground signs, where they're permitted and the size that they're permitted, mm-hmm. and currently they are permitted throughout the town of Caledon.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Galloway.
So I see no more speakers, so we've let the debate sort of unfold naturally. But I do have to say and advise council through you, Madam Chair, that there's a lot of good questions that are being asked today. Those questions were all going to be answered in the Chief Building Official's report. My opinion and what I'm advising you today, certainly it's a majority vote of council, and we will respect whatever that vote is. But because there's so many questions that will be answered in the report, it would be my advice to you that we just hold off on making a decision today, allow the information to be holistically presented to you so you can make decisions about all signs in the town instead of doing the one-offs here. And I know that might not align with certain people's opinion around the table, but, you've got the ability to clear the board, don't you? I think there's so many questions, and I'd hate for us to make a one-off decision this afternoon that might preimpose a great deal of pressure on the report that you had asked, and if I'm not mistaken, it was almost unanimous, to bring back that information. So I will just leave that with you, and certainly whatever the direction of council is this afternoon, staff will implement it and follow it.
Thank you, Mr. Galloway. And to follow on that, I think I still have the floor, right? Yeah. So when would we be expecting this report to come back? That's first question. The second question, and I think it was asked, but I just want to make sure that I get clarification. If this isn't supported today and we wait for this report to come back, what happens to Mr. Rozos? He comes back? And we can, Bill, I think you answered, but I just need clarification. Can he come back and ask for this?
So the new bylaw will be, to answer your first question as to when it's coming forth, it's hoped that the report is nearing completion now, so hopefully within the next few weeks that we'll be able to bring it forth for a preliminary discussion at least. In terms of future sign variances, yes, there will be provisions in the bylaw for variance applications. That being said, depending on the form of the bylaw, there will be a clear intent, and any variance would have to meet the general intent of that bylaw.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Mazzapelli.
Sorry, Chair, did you call myself? Did you call me?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, thank you. Two quick questions for you, Mr. Klingberg. The bylaw that will come back, or the report, will there be, because I know when we dealt with clothing donation bins, other things that were community issues, there was a public component. Is it envisioned that there will be with this as well?
That is correct. There is a public notification policy that will be followed with this report.
So public notification?
With the bylaw, too, so a public information meeting.
Okay, perfect. The other thing is, and I can't state a position because I haven't seen the report, as to my position on billboards, I can't say yay or nay. But if the report does support it, and we actually have a bylaw that supports them and regulates them, will the applicant be required, will his application stand? I'd hate to see him charged twice for one application. Would it be in good standing in that it would be proceeding now that it's in compliance with, hypothetically, the bylaw?
So if today's application is deferred, if that's what I think you're saying, the application would still remain open, so his fees would not be lost at this point. Depending on today's decision, obviously if it's refused, then he would have to start over. Did I answer your question?
I'm not sure. I just, in fairness to the applicant, to come twice... And I don't know procedurally if anyone can answer that, but I think maybe that's the least we could do.
Can I ask some questions? Because I haven't had a chance to speak. I'm the chair. I'm asking. If you're finished with Mr. Councillor Mazzapelli? Yeah. Okay. The other signs that were mentioned, did they come and ask for a sign variance from council? Because I'm confused how we could permit them, give them a permit for a sign when this gentleman has gone through the entire process, is now before us for a sign variance. This has nothing to do whether or not we think that there should be signs on Highway 10 or on Airport Road. This has to do with a variance to the bylaw. So he doesn't comply with the specific bylaw, so he's asking for a sign variance to permit him to put up the sign. My question is, the other signs that we've all been talking about, that we all have concerns, and the reason why we've asked for the new changes to be brought forward, why did the, or maybe they didn't, and I wasn't on council at the time, did they come forward and get a sign variance? Because they don't comply with our sign bylaw. So, and I know that you were not the CBO at the time, so this is not on you, but I'm questioning as to, I feel as though we're penalizing a resident who has gone through the process and done everything properly and appropriately that he's supposed to do, and we're penalizing him just solely because we may be changing our bylaw. Whether we're changing our bylaw or not, he still has the right as an applicant to come forward for a variance. That's what a variance is.
That's not here, though.
Yes, it is here. That's why it's before you today. This is a signed variance. This is not a matter for committee of adjustment. This is a matter for council. That's why it's before us today. So did those other ones get a variance? Was that approved through council?
Short answer, I don't know.
My concern is that we're all questioning whether or not we should be dealing with a report when the issue is we're dealing with an independent sign variance request. This has nothing to do with the sign bylaw in itself. He may not even be required to do a sign variance by the time that this bylaw is done. But this is an independent request for a variance. This is not to deal with the actual bylaw itself and the changes to it. Mayor Thompson.
My light's been on for a while.
You're next.
Oh, that's what you think.
It has. Well, hearing what the my concern was, where you lost me on the referral, where I thought it might go, is when I heard the clerk say, well, we don't know if we can enforce it or not. And the problem is I still have the scars from those two ugly signs that are lit out there on the road. I've never really had a complaint on the Patterson sign that was up north, but I was just saying at least it's something of decency. You know, the looks decent on the provincial highway corridors and is permitted as such. Listening to what the CEO has said, the CEO is correct. There's been a lot of good questions asked about this. I feel for the applicant, and I know where Councillor Ennis is going. But I think there's a lot of validity. I would like to see this person be successful. But here we go again, and I'm just wondering if we should just refer the whole report back to staff. I think this is premature when we're working through it, where we're going on the billboards. We had a workshop, and obviously we didn't get a clear enough direction on where we're going on this. The one is we're talking about making all billboard signs illegal. Well, then what are we going to do with all the big development signs? What are we going to do with the farm market signs? What are we going to do with all the guys that have paid permits on these signs? This is going to open a whole can of worms that we're not knowing where we're getting in for. Question is we got a split agreement here, and I'm just wondering, maybe we better refer this whole report back. Let's bring the bylaw forward.
I'm sorry, Mayor Thompson, we've already voted on the referral.
So
we're voting on the amendment before us by Councillor DeBoer.
All right.
Or you can make an amendment to defer, because we haven't deferred yet. We've referred. Deferred.
All right, I'll defer it back. That takes away the discussion. I think we've discussed it enough.
Can I have a seconder to defer the motion?
Till when?
Well, the reality is it may not come back with the report, because it may be approved within the report, and then he's not going to require a sign variance.
Well, that's why we're looking for the committee.
So I don't think that we can refer it back to the report. The motion is simply to defer. Seconded by?
Could we have till after the report? I would support that.
Well, that's what I said. It needs to be deferred back to the report. After the report.
Through you to the chair. So as the clerk, I need to understand your amendment, Your Worship. What is the amendment?
My recommendation is to defer this back till we have an actual report on what we're going to do on these boards.
I can support that.
Can I have a seconder? Councillor Shaughnessy, all those in favor? All those opposed? Motion to defer carried. I would now ask that Council waive the provision of the procedural bylaw to permit a delegation to be heard from Sherry Brioche regarding the bicycling task force. Can I have a mover? Councillor Mizzipelli, seconded. Councillor Beffert, all those in favor? Carried. Just remind Ms. Brochet that you have 10 minutes, and thank you very much for your patience.
Thank you. Yeah, sorry. Good afternoon, Chair Ennis, Mayor Thompson, Council staff, and members of public. My name is Sherry Brioche, and I'm a resident of Caledon. Thank you for allowing me to delegate today. I am super stoked to see this come forward. Caledon is going to go through a white belt visioning exercise, which is one of the biggest adventures that we as a community have embarked on. Cycling is one piece of that big, big pie. Let's do it right. Let's put Caledon on the map for being a cycling-friendly community right across from the west to the east, north to the south, and in between. There are different visions, needs, wants, and concerns right across Caledon. I believe safety for our current and future residents Even our employers should be on the top of the list. It's in our official plan under section 3.1.3.7, and it talks about this. And I'll just won't read the whole thing because it's actually quite long. I'll just touch bases on a few things. Compact and connected communities. Redevelopment opportunities, which cost-effective. Economic development, we can build off of it. Linkages that facilitate and access by pedestrians and cyclists to residential employment and recreational areas. Based on this and other parts of our official plan, Regional's official plan, Provincial Policy Statement 2014, and Places to Grow, Planning Act, and et cetera, we are mandated to include a cycling component of our planning. Moving forward, if I may ask or suggest regarding this notice of motion, let's have an educational, proactive public engagement on this entity. Include the two cycling shops that you have in your community. Get some youth engagement, senior engagement, public works, because they're going to build it, parks and rec, because they're going to promote it, they're going to educate it, and we could possibly capitalize on it with economic development. Please consider having public also sitting on this task force. In regards to the notice of motion and asking staff to come up with the terms of reference, after doing some research on what a terms of reference is, I asked this council to have a deeper discussion with people, businesses, including people that are in the business of cycling, are passionate about cycling, to help with the terms of reference and goals that this community wants in cycling. As we all know, in the terms of reference means, quote, the scope and limitations of an activity or area of knowledge, end of quote. Cycling is another means of transportation, whether it be to work, fun, family adventures, or hardcore training. I stand here before you today to encourage a further and deeper discussion moving forward. Let's have the open house. Let's have PIMs. Let's get this community riled up. Let's get them excited about having cycling in Caledon. I realize that there is a consultant that is hired, and they will bring the cycling component to our planning. With the utmost respect to their profession, they don't live here. They don't have life experiences here. Do they really understand our current challenges that exist, never mind creating new challenges? That is why I have advocated and had discussions with some of you. The white belt visioning exercise and executing it, it will take a long time. There will be challenges. But along with those challenges will be better and greater accomplishments, and cycling is one of them. Here's an example of safety I'd like to give to you. The town of Caledon has adopted 600 plus acres of employment lands in the southern part of Bolton. Now, moving forward, there is no way right now for connectivity from the residential component can access safely on a bike to get to work when these lands are completely developed. Even to the existing employment, there is no safe way to ride to work right now. There's no cycling lanes on the Coleraine bypass from Mayfield up to King. On the new arm, there is, but on the old arm, there's not. There are very, very variables and obstacles that prevent this. Let's be the leader in cycling across our great community. Let's set the bar very high. Think big. Think safety. Connect our communities upon communities. Let's create tourism in cycling, whether it be road riding, cross-country mountain biking, or cyclocross cycling. And probably some of you don't even know what cyclocross is, but I'd be happy to tell you. Or just plain family fun. The southern part of Caledon is going to change right across in a very, very big way. We need to get this right. We need to embark on this journey together. We need to be different than any other community across Ontario, Canada. Heck, I'm going to go with North America. Kids riding their bikes to school, families riding around, people riding to work, group rides, people driving up to Caledon to cycle and enjoy our beautiful countryside. As a cycling mom and a very heavily involved in the cycling world, I embrace and support this task, and I want to thank Councillor Ernest for bringing this forward. It's been a dream of mine to see this come to Caledon, and I can see it happening, and I'm so, so excited. I will tell you a little story. I say this to my son when he gets at the start line, and on an elite level, race hard, be safe, and have fun. I will say to you all, let's have fun with this. Let's be safe, but let's all work hard. Congratulations, Caledon Council, for creating the first step in the area. Thank you again for letting me delegate today, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Burrish.
That was a happy one.
We have time to spare. Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Chair Innes. Thank you, Sherry, for coming and delegating. And I agree with you. This is a good news thing.
Oh, yeah.
Councillor Innes's motion, well, when it comes, certainly I will speak to that. But I think it's important to bring these things forward. One of the things that's really important, and I know we speak about this at the region when we're designing communities, is to create those linkages and those connectivities, whether it's through walking or cycling, getting people out of their cars and create that whole live, work, and play environment without adding to the carbon footprint that we already is continuing to grow. And I do support having the public information center. I think that's a great idea. We have a lot of cyclists in town, and it isn't just those two bike shops
that
are here,
groups.
But I think they're right across Caledon, and I think it would be good to get their input, how we move forward, and certainly, again, I think Councillor Innes's motion coming forward to do a task force is a great idea. Help staff with where we're going and create those connectivities. So thank you.
You're welcome.
And safety.
Can I just add one thing? Councillor Innes, there's no timeline to bring back it's going to possibly create a terms of reference, but there's no timeline to bring back, and I was wondering if we could maybe implement that. I just thought of that right now, and I apologize.
Thank you. My councillor can ask for an amendment to the motion to include that.
Great.
Councillor Shaughnessy.
Yes, I do. It's nice seeing you happy at the microphone there.
I am so excited about this adventure. You have no idea.
Well, I think it's great. So I would throw out to you some of the challenges. One, how do we make money off of cycling? How do we not impair the residents who live in Caledon to have a negative effect by bicycling? I think that's really important. Two, how would you handle rogue races? Because we do have a lot of, in Ward 1, we have a lot of rogue races where they all of a sudden appear and they take over the roads. We don't make any money. So I think the task force is a fabulous idea. I would love to sit on that task force as probably the ward that has the most regional roads attached to it, which they seem to end up on regional roads. But I think there's a lot of really great issues that could be discussed at the task force, and I agree with you, Sherry, that it shouldn't just be council, it should be community, especially people like yourself who knows racing really well. I would totally welcome that. So thank you for taking 10 minutes to
I think
make
I
us all happy.
Four thank minutes you. And 15 seconds. I'm getting shorter.
Thank you. Seeing no other councillors to speak, I'm going to bring forward the motion. Whereas the Bicycling Friendly Community is a program that was created by the League of American Bicyclists and brought to Ontario by Share the Road in 2010, and whereas the program provides communities with the opportunity to measure their progress against an established international set of criteria, which clearly identifies the type of programs, projects, policies, and plans that contribute to a strong and safe cycling community. Now, therefore, be it resolved that staff be directed to draft a terms of reference for a bicycling task force whose mandate will be to assist the town on becoming accredited as a bicycling-friendly community and report back. Can I have a mover? Mayor Thompson, and a seconder, Councillor Shaughnessy. And before I call the first person to speak, which is actually Councillor DeBoer, if he wants to, because he held it. With regards to the request from the delegate to amend the main motion, I'm going to suggest that we amend it at our council meeting so we have an opportunity to speak with our staff, because it does involve multi-departments, so that we can have a better and a realistic timeline. So I'm just going to make that recommendation. Mayor Thompson?
Did you not want Councillor DeBoer to go first because he held it?
I don't think he has a question. Do you have a question? Do you want to go? Okay.
I have a question. It's more of a statement along the same lines. Let staff look at it and come up with a recommendation.
Okay. Mayor Thompson?
Yeah, and I'm glad to move it for you, Councillor Innes. The one thing I was going to say is what I was going to add into that last clause was council support a community-led bicycling task force, because I think that's the only way we're going to get creativity and thinking outside the box. So we'll go let staff figure out how to make that work with the terms of reference.
Thank you. Councillor Mezzapelli.
Thank you, Chair Ennis. I think we all are very supportive of making our community and planning for our community to be more cycling friendly. I don't think you'll find any opposition to that. And it's great that we're getting ahead of it and planning for it. And I don't know who to put this to, and I have spoken to Councillor Innes about this, as this, and I think Ms. Brosia even talked about it, it's active transportation. It's a means of moving people for recreation or for work in a way other than the car. And recognizing that there's multi modes of active transportation, including walking, that was the question I have. I absolutely support this, but if we're going to create a vision and a direction, I would like to encapsulate it. I'm not saying necessarily as a part of this, but that we don't miss out on the pedestrian. I know that there's also a walk-friendly community designation, and when you go to the website, the two reference each other. So they're very closely affiliated. So I don't know how to address this, but I would like us not to miss the opportunity to deal with pedestrian connectivity, and I would love to also see us apply for a walk-friendly community designation. So I don't know who to address that to.
Pass it to the clerk.
Yeah, we'll always pass it to the clerk if you're not sure.
Through the chair to Councillor Mezzapelli. My first instinct is to say they may be two different things. So for the municipality to invest in either, whether it's a bicycle-friendly designation or a walk-friendly designation, I'm not sure what's entailed about that. So you may choose to do a notice of motion of your own to investigate that. Or, I mean, again, you can always make an amendment to this to do. I don't understand right now at this time what the involvement would be a walk-friendly community. We could definitely look into that quickly, and then at the next council when this is ratified, if there's something that can be done at that time, there's always an opportunity for an amendment then.
Yeah, and I'm certainly not looking to complicate this or delay it in any way. I'm looking to enhance it and make it more fulsome. So if it has to be separate, I'll consult with staff afterwards. But I just want to make sure we don't miss that. I think it's really important. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Mezzapelli. So no other speakers? All those in favor? Motion carried. I'm going to call for a 8-minute break. We'll be back at 25 after, please. Councillors can take their seats, please. We're moving on to staff report 2016-32 regarding public complaint handling policy. That staff report 2016-32 regarding a public complaint handling policy be received, and that the public complaint handling policy attached as Appendix A to staff report 2016-32 be approved, and that procedural bylaw 2015-108 be amended to revise the provisions regarding confidential session matters in accordance with Bill 8. This item was held by Councillor Mezzapelli. Councillor Mezzapelli, do you wish to speak? Seeing no further questions, I need a mover. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, seconded by Councillor Groves. All those in favor? Motion carried. Staff report 2016-34 regarding renewal of area-specific development charge for Coleraine Drive storm sewer be received, and that report 2016-34 be used as a town's development charge background study for the area-specific development charge to be made available to the public on May 10th, 2016, and that the draft bylaw attached to Schedule D to staff report 2016-34 be made available to the public on May 10th, 2016. Can I have a mover? Mm-hmm. Councillor Groves, seconded by Councillor Beffert. This item was held by Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Chair Innes. I did get my questions answered through the Mr. Wong. I'm not sure what he's called again.
His title is. I don't know.
Mr. Wong works. Any other questions or concerns?
And I just wanted to thank Ms. Tollett for bringing this report forward. I think this is a good housekeeping cleanup, so thank you.
Thank you. And I'd just like to point out how fabulous it is that we speak with our staff and we address these issues before council, saving time and while we're sitting at this table. So thank you. All those in favor? Motion carried. Moving to correspondence, is there anything in the correspondence package that requires action?
Mayor Thompson.
For nominations, is there anybody from council that you think we need to recognize here? I know this has come through in the correspondence, but it's the provincial recognition for volunteer.
Are you regarding to the Ministry of Citizenship and Immigration and International Trade, the Lincoln M. Alexander Award?
Yes.
Perhaps anybody with recommendations?
The deadline's June 15th. How about we just, all I'm just saying, if we can just post that forward and see if we can get someone to apply for it, please. Let's put our heads together. I just don't have at this point, but I think we should think about it.
Perfect. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, I'll just bring forward the presentation request from Mentors regarding the second annual Walk for Walk in Her Shoes event. They did request to delegate, so it's up to council. Should we wish to accept their delegation request? Okay. Moved by Councillor Shaughnessy, seconded by Councillor DeBoer. All those in favour? No further questions? Correspondence. So I now need a motion to go into closed session. Moved by Mayor Thompson, seconded by Mayor, Councillor Mezzapelli. All those in favor? Oh, sorry, I have to read it. That the General Committee shall go into closed session under Section 239 of the Municipal Act for the purposes of Confidential Staff Report 2016-13 regarding personal matters about an identifiable individual, including municipal or local board employees, Caledon Public Library board appointment, and Confidential Staff Report 2016-12 regarding personal matters about an identifiable individual, including municipal or local board employees, Senior of the Year Award. All those in favour? Carried. Council members, please stay here, and I'd ask members of the public to please leave the council chambers. Okay. Confidential staff report 2016-13 regarding personal matters about an identifiable individual, including municipal or local board employees, Caledon Public Library board appointment. The confidential staff report 2016-13 regarding personal matters about an identifiable individual, Caledon Public Library board appointment be received, and that bylaw 2015-010 be amended to remove Patty Foley and to appoint the following citizen to the Caledon Public Library Board for the remainder of the 2014 to 2018 term of council, Lynn Van Ryswick. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, seconded by Councillor Groves. All those in favour? Motion carried. Confidential staff report 2016-12 regarding personal matters about an identifiable individual, municipal or local board employee senior of the year, that confidential staff report 2016-12 regarding personal matters about an identifiable individual senior of the year award be received, and that Jerry Gorman be selected as the Town of Caledon's nomination for the 2016 senior of the year award to the Province of Ontario's Honours and Awards Secretariat. Moved by Councillor Groves, seconded by Councillor Mezzapelli. All those in favour? Carried. That concludes this meeting, and General Committee is now adjourned.